You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
The hell is up?
Talk about the seventh serial of the fourth season of Doctor Who, The Macra Terror.
No, we won't.
Why not?
The Macra Terror does not exist.
But now it does.
It does?
Kind of. It was originally aired March 11th to April 1st, 1967, but they recently made animated reconstructions.
True facts!
We watched it last night. We're going to talk about it.
Oh.
Here at Wholanta, and we have some amazing guests.
I am R. Allen Seiler, organizer of Wholanta.
Hi, everyone. I'm Thanks Matt. Thanks Matt Golden. And I'm the creative director at Retro TV.
Matt, it's, hey, Thanks Matt.
Hey, thanks Matt.
Well, that's, that. Please, that's my father.
And last but not least,
Woo! My name is Mike Gordon. I am one of the co-hosts on Earth Station Who podcast and Earth Station One.
And all these people have been guests before on our podcast.
By the way, I didn't mention this last time we recorded, but I need to congratulate you on hitting the 100 mark. Congratulations. Yes. On episode 100.
I believe it was
one right before me, right?
Yeah, it was Stones of Blood, I think.
There was lots of talk of cake, and we didn't get any cake.
We got some cake today because it was your birthday and Matt's birthday.
Oh my gosh, is it your birthday?
Mine was the first, and his the tenth.
So they had a happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the cake said fork on it, and had cannoli filling in it.
Had little adipose made out of cannoli filling.
Very delicious.
That's awesome.
For those of you who haven't heard our podcast, Tony and I are going through all of Doctor Who in order. Currently, we are, like he said, 100 plus episodes in. We're almost through with the Key to Time season. But now we're going back to take a look at the Macra Terror, because they just released an animation. And now
we
get to see
that.
It instead of just hear people grunting and going, hold this.
So have you done this, have you reviewed this one before?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
they
the,
did.
Just the audio or reconstruction? Or?
Recon, yeah.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
We got to see, the only thing that I really remember from the recon is there's a screen cap that's used over and over and over again, and it's Ben is obviously troubled, and he's making the most obnoxious face, and that's my main memory.
Yes, that's so big.
It's so bad.
Now, people who listen to the podcast are going to wonder how they can see it. Unfortunately, this won't be released in America until October.
Yeah.
On DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm sure that no one's found ways to get it.
Yeah.
No.
We all had
I
to
wouldn't
fly
know how to
overseas.
Do that.
Right.
But we are very tired, right?
Very tired.
Yeah. And a little... Hey,
yeah. Joe just took my class.
Oh.
It's vodka.
I know. I'm very low tolerance. So.
Also, like, that was a pretty big swig. Pace yourself.
Okay.
We've got four episodes.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
I don't think we need to, like, rehash the plot, because we already talked about it on a previous episode.
Okay.
But let's just talk about what we liked and what we didn't like, and the animation and all that stuff. I, personally...
Don't like Ben. Let's talk about it.
If any of you guys out here like Ben,
apologies.
I'm sorry, but we don't.
It's a personal preference. If you've listened to the show before, you know, because we talked about
it. We have had people rage quit our podcast because we don't like Ben.
Wow.
So, I will say, when we were watching it last night, Joe, you leaned over to me and said something to the effect of, it's incredible how even in animation, they managed to capture the fact that Ben always looks constipated.
Yes. Well, as he says in the episode, he has to do his duty. He just can't.
Nice.
To be perfectly fair, I think Ben's one of those characters who could have been great if given stuff to do.
Or less
gross stuff to do.
And the thing is, they came in, he and Polly came in, just like a story or two before they introduced Jamie. And Jamie
was so
like,
hard.
Jamie, exactly. Jamie was immediately like the fan favorite and the production company favorite. So Ben and Polly were kind of like old news quickly.
Yeah,
sadly.
Like, sad. These people are here, and we just miss Jamie. We just want Jamie and the doctor forever.
And this was their last complete story, right? Because the next one is Faceless Ones, where they sort of get kicked to the curb mid-story without any kind of explanation.
And then they come back and like, oh, by the way, we're leaving.
By the way, we are still around, but not for long.
But not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think this is probably one of the strongest serials for Ben, because he actually gets, like, a character arc.
Agreed.
Because he is, you know, obviously troubled.
Yeah.
He's very conflicted this whole time, because he's been brain-controlled, and, like, he actually gets things to do. Polly doesn't get anything to do, but she's got a kick-ass haircut.
It is an absolute travesty that her haircut only exists in this episode that doesn't exist. And I was happy to see it animated.
Yes. So what did you guys think of the animation in general?
I thought the animation was exceptionally good, especially for the Doctor Who animated stories. This one almost approached like Archer levels of animation to me. It's still not cell-drawn 2D animation. It's clearly computer-generated.
Yes.
Not in a 3D sense, but if you've ever seen Archer, it's that style of animation. And this was the most fluid, I think, that I've ever seen from animation.
Yeah. They've done, three now? Power of the Daleks. No, four. Because they did...
Parts of Shada.
Right, most of Shada. And now this one. And they get better each time. They've, like, the BBC's willing to give them more money. BBC gives them a little more time to do good work. And I think it pays off so... Now I want them to go back and redo Power of the Daleks. Everything about Power, the backgrounds, the scenery, the Daleks themselves were spectacular. The character animation was wretched.
Yeah,
which is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've obviously gotten more resources to do better work, and it shows so well, and it's just gorgeous.
This one is much more dynamic than Power.
Much more.
There's one of you guys mentioned earlier, there's a scene where Polly is picked up by one of the Macro, and it clearly did not look like that on when the show aired.
Yes.
There's no way it looked that
picks
good.
Her up by the ankle and is swinging her around.
She's just dangling, and...
Where I'm sure in the original it's her, like, fluffing around in the back of her costume.
She, like, feeds herself into the macro claw.
Right.
Like, oh, no, it's got me.
And that's one of the nice things about this animation is that since there is no footage that exists, I mean, little clips or whatever, they can pretty much do what they want with it, and they kept it true, but they also took the opportunity to do good things with it, to do new things. And there's a scene where they only built one big macro prop.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where these macro are coming toward Jamie from different angles. So they had to, like, shoot him with the prop over here. And then they had to shoot him again with the prop moved over to this side. And they just had, it was much more dynamic scene in the animation.
It must be tricky because on the one hand, even though the animation could do whatever, realize it to the fullest extent, like dramatically it could be possible, you don't want to lose that sense of storytelling that was inherent to what they were capable of at the time.
That's true.
So I think one of the things that I was skeptical of was that it had the option to watch this in color. The old Troughton stuff I haven't seen in color before, so I didn't know how if that was going to throw me off. But I would say within about 5 or 10 minutes, I was just enjoying it and didn't even realize that that was a thing. Like, it would be an issue.
Right.
What I think is funny is they have it, there's like a black and white option in case you are a purist, but like Joe pointed out, it's
widescreen.
It's still widescreen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
If you're going to make it black and white, make it 4:3.
I mean,
if you're going to be a purist, be a purist.
Well, they do also, they did cut out a scene from it.
Yes.
So
where she gets her haircut.
Yeah, and also they like make up the doctor, and he's like no, and like
and
wants to
go
back.
Exactly. Yeah,
but
scene. But
I think they mostly did that so they didn't have to like change the designs too much.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
But I kind of thought if they were going to cut out like a whole scene like that, they could have maybe also in a couple of instances tightened things up a little bit, and I wouldn't have minded so much because there's a couple of shots that. They're clearly like, I'm not sure what happened in the scene, so
please
stand around for a little
bit. But it wasn't nearly as noticeable in this one as it was in Power of the Daleks.
Yeah,
that's
Power was terrible.
Yeah.
it, for that kind of thing, where they just had like heads on the screen and they would just bob a little bit because they didn't know what was happening.
Right.
Just cut the scene down a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Cut the excess out.
And in this one, they were really good. Even if they were going to hold on a character for an extended period of time, they gave him facial animation.
Exactly right.
They gave him
exactly
something
right.
to do.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the times was really funny. Like a scene would kind of hang for a minute and then like Jamie would like make a face at somebody.
Yeah. Or the doctor would pull a face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good visual jokes in this too. Like
Somebody actually thought about like, well, we can make whatever visuals we want. And so like the swinging door, there's a joke where the
Jamie jumps out of a door like he's like doing his dance and he does the Highland Fling.
Yes.
Flings himself out of the door right into like the bad guys.
Yeah, and so like you don't see the door swings open the first time and there's nothing there and they swing back and they're all the bad guys. And like that's a great joke that you know they had to have just made. And I appreciate it.
I read an article with or an interview with the directors and they very specifically approached it as we want to keep the spirit of what, as best we know, of what was on screen at the time, but also we want to make it and use the animation to its fullest extent.
Yeah.
There are shots in there. There was a Dutch angle in there, which I think if you probably tried to get a Dutch angle with one of the BBC cameras, have a heart attack and die. All of that just, they hit a really good balance, much better than any of the other ones that I've seen, I think, of making it dynamic and making it modern, and also still being respectful to what was on the
screen. Agreed.
There was a good sense of depth.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. With the widescreen format, they recreated the sets pretty much precisely the way they looked, but they make them more spacious because they have a little more room on the screen to open them up, where in a BBC studio, it's all cramped.
I will say the only thing that tripped me out about it being in color was the intro, because everything else is just like, the world is in color, and that's how people look. The intro was like, I've never seen it like this before.
Rainbows.
Yeah.
Well, and they actually had a cold open, which I don't know if that was part of the original episode.
It wasn't.
But they did a really cool thing where the cold open was black and white. It was the Doctor and Ben and Polly and Jamie on the TARDIS. And it was in black and white, and they're looking at this time screen that's kind of showing the future, and there's a giant claw. Mm-hmm.
And that was the cliffhanger from the previous episode.
And then when it transitioned to the new title sequence, it's in bold, wonderful color. And
it's in perky color.
Yeah. It's in We Just Discovered Color Film color.
Exactly like perky.
Yes.
And sadly, the Dr. Elho isn't on screen for long enough, because it's not actually mirrored.
Oh,
that's something that I've always, like a weird thing that I've always liked about the intro, is like that brief period of time where it's Dr. Elho.
Yeah.
I love that show.
It's easier to play in like a sans serif font than in the Times New Roman of the Second Doctor.
I was talking about the depth again. They do it the best in one of my favorite scenes when the Doctor is writing on a chalkboard, which I think in the original was just a chalkboard, but in this they have it like the camera is going through like a see-through.
It's like a CSI type. We're gonna be able to see the face of the actor through it.
Right, and they did that.
In the original, he wrote on one of the pipes.
Yeah. And then he does that thing where he's like, "Oh, this is a great equation I just did. 10 out of 10."
I know.
And then, like, the guy's like, how did you break this thing? And, like, no one else has done it. And he's like, okay. And he marks off the 10. He puts 11. Such a good gag.
And that scene in particular is great because, as you mentioned, the depth. Because you see the equation in front. You've got the Doctor right there. And then in the background at first, like, it's nothing. And then the pilot comes in. And he's just kind of watching him for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, what's he doing? And so you've got this depth that I don't know if they would have had in the original at all.
Well, scene, the Doctor's kind of like, you scared me. How long were you there? Yeah. And he does, because you're just like watching the scene, and you're like, how long is it going to be before he says something?
And, he's like,
and you're like, hey, creeper.
Yeah, there's a similar sort of gag where like Jamie's sneaking around in the background when everybody's doing their fantastic chants.
Oh my gosh. That's like the one thing when I knew we were going to do Macra Terra for this. That was like the one thing I remember from like our original thing where like that scene started to happen and I was like, they're gonna do the chant.
And then Jamie's gonna dance.
And we we watched it really late at night, and there were like parts where I was like, okay, like the credits would roll, and I'd be like, okay, so we got two more, we got one more left. And like when that scene happened, I like perked way all the way back up. I was like wide awake again. And I was like, ah, I'm so excited! I get to see this scene again, and I get to see it actually animated and moving and stuff. And it was great, like seeing you know them do the cheers and stuff.
And then like the audio just like cuts out, and the, as they all like notice Jamie in the background. Yeah, that's so great. And then the dance was fun. I like that too. This is Highland Fling.
Yes.
It's one of those things that is like so sad that we don't have.
Yeah. And I don't know if there are any existing stills of it or if they just created the effect whole cloth. But when they would switch to Macrovision, not the copy protection, but looking through the eyes of the macro, that was an incredibly Doctor Who effect.
Yeah.
It looked like something that they would have made.
Mm-hmm. I honestly sat there for a minute and I was like, was that the most still?
Right.
And I still don't know. I know, I've seen all the existing footage, and it's not in that.
No, it's not in any of those.
It's one of my favorite serials, though, of the Second Doctor era, just because it is so funny. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
I would like to see the people who did this one do, I can't think of what it's called, but the one that has like the Christmas episode in it where like clearly...
The Dalek Master Plan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's 12 episodes long. Yeah. And
that's true.
It would blow the budget for a couple of years.
But there's a scene in one of them where like clearly slapstick is happening.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I bet this is hilarious. And I feel like they could, you know, go in and, mm-hmm. you know, make something up. And
have some fun with that.
Yeah.
I really considered the Highlanders, but didn't worry about drawing all the pads.
Yeah, all the tartan patterns. Yeah. Plus, there's a lot of characters in it, and there are in Macra also. Yeah. It's got a much bigger than usual cast, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That it was kind of between those two.
I want to see all of them.
I know, me too.
I'm hoping we get to a point where we do see mm-hmm. all of them.
I'd like them to redo some of the ones that have been done. What's the one, the First Doctor one?
Reign of Terror.
No, I love that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. The animation is much more fluid than what's here. It's a little blocky, but movement is much more fluid. And I literally just watched it this past week.
I really enjoyed it.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah, badly.
Like, it cuts, like, every 3 seconds.
What I feel like happened with Reign of Terror is, like, the designs are really good, and, mm-hmm. like, the animation is really good, and then they were like, hey, can you do it faster? And they're like, we can if we do it like this. And, like, so yeah, I think there's a lot of really good stuff in Reign of Terror, and the editing is what throws you off.
There's a lot of, like, it'll be like a character walking from one room into the room to the other, instead of just staying on that shot watching that character walk, you'll see the person, like you'll see the doctor walk, follow him with his eyes, then cut to the guy walking, then back to the doctor's
phone.
It just keeps going.
You know, how much animation they didn't get a chance to do.
No, and I have a question, kind of basic on that. We talked earlier about purity of the animation. And you kind of fall into one of two camps. It's either I want to watch it as closely as it would have been in the 60s versus I tend to take the idea of I'm going to watch it in color, I'm going to watch it in widescreen,
mm-hmm.
because even if it's those things, it's also animation, which it wouldn't have been.
Right, exactly right. And so, I'm of the camp that I just want to watch it.
Yeah.
If they take liberties with it, that's fine. If they stick to like a shot-by-shot kind of thing, I'm fine with that too. I just want to be able to watch all these things.
Well, that's my question is, obviously there are very low budgets for mm-hmm. How would my fellow panelists here feel about if they took some of those, like the Dalek Master Plan,
mm-hmm.
and edited them and made them shorter? There would, by necessity, be things cut out, but it would be doable.
Yeah.
It would be a version that you could actually watch. How would you feel about that?
I mean, they did it live action with Genesis of the Daleks recently, too, right?
They did.
And in the 80s, Sci-Fi, I believe, would run two-hour sort of digest versions of several stories. They would take them and they would edit them down. They would cut out 10 seconds out of a 15-second establishing shot and just make them fit, you know, 90 minutes
of content.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Well, since you mentioned Master Plan specifically, I would love that to happen. because there's a lot of nonsense in the middle of the story. The first five or six episodes are spectacular. The last two or three are amazing.
Yes.
And all that stuff in the middle where they're like, you know, in a haunted house, and then they go to Egypt, and then they're at a rugby match. It's all just nonsense. And when you get to like episode 9 or 10, and they're like, let's get back to like finding the Turanian core, and I'm like, thank God, let's get back to finding the Turanian core. And then the last two episodes are the most amazing thing that ever happened in the Hartnell period, I think.
To be fair, everything you said is exactly right. But also,
of course it is.
I would like to see a version that's just the nonsense. Like, make them two separate things.
Okay.
So then I'm like, yes, give me the version of like the streamlined plot, and then they're like, here you go, here's all the nonsense, we kept it on the side.
Nice. And the other thing is, the Christmas episode was intended to be something that did not interrupt the story, because they weren't sure if any regular viewers would watch on Christmas Day. So it is intended to not have anything that takes anything away from or builds upon anything else that happens in the story. So you can totally cut it out. And when they offered it for sale to other countries, they didn't. They offered it without episode 7.
Do we have that one? Oh, it doesn't exist.
No,
we don't have anything that doesn't exist.
And that is true
of everything.
Number one level.
Every single thing.
Yeah.
I'm drinking vodka right now.
So, I would like them to keep as much stuff in as possible, because I'm afraid they would cut character stuff that's not important.
I agree.
But that stuff's my favorite part. Like, I love the scene they cut out of Macrotera, because it's just characters goofing around, and that's my favorite stuff.
Absolutely.
So I saddens me that was cut out. I understand why they cut it out. But like the stuff that I wouldn't mind them cutting out is like, you know, the long gaps of just silence, or just maybe tighten up fight sequences where you don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cut that stuff down.
Yeah. I agree.
And maybe recaps. You know,
sure.
But leave as much meat on the bone as you can. That's what I would do if you did the animation. Like, you wanted to cut stuff from the animation.
Unfortunately, that's the easiest stuff to leave in and the hardest stuff to cut out because you've already done all of the designs for those scenes, and just leaving them on screen a little longer is cheap.
That's very true.
And that is one of the overriding factors.
But it's so boring to watch.
It is.
So,
go ahead. I was just going to say, I'd love to see kind of, just as an editor, I would love to see just a tightened up version of some stories that weren't trying to fit 25 minutes. And
you
so,
know, we have them.
So let's just cut them? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, like, if you want to see it,
do it,
and then I'll watch it.
I mean, yeah, edit the Doctor Who you want to see in the world.
I'm sure that wouldn't anger anybody.
But I think that's why I'm sort of the opinion, like, let's just try to keep it as pure to the original as possible. And everything that you guys said, I get, but the fact is that every one of you would want to keep and show something different.
Yeah, sure.
I agree with that. But let's look at Enemy of the World. It was missing for a long time. The only way it existed was on the audio. The audio recording sounds boring. When they finally found the episodes, it was the direction and the actor performances that made that story. So even if you cut stuff out or don't cut stuff out for an animated thing, you still lose what the actors brought to the thing and what the director did with it.
And what I will say in this one in particular, I mean, as a Troughton fan, like, obviously they don't know exactly every facial expression he's making during the whole thing.
Right.
But I must admit, it never felt like non-Patrick to me. I think they nailed it.
I agree with that.
And more so, I think they more paid attention to his performance than anybody else's, and rightly so.
Yeah.
I think facial expression was a big thing as far as this animation goes that others did not really have before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a strength of this one that like stands out.
I think that the characters across the board were great. Like,
agreed.
Troughton, Jamie was like doing like eyebrow stuff, didn't look like a stone.
Well, Well, and I think we you know, we had just done a couple of episodes ago. We did
Android Terra
yes.
with Peter Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. And Peter Jeffrey's in this, and we know that Peter Jeffrey can eat scenery. Like, we know that he can, like, he's capable of being like owning a scene, but you don't really see that in this. Yeah. Like, I think his performance is probably diminished. Like, if we had seen the real one, we might have been like, wow, look at this guy who's playing pilot, you know? Like, he's really, like, chewing this, like, he's really standing out. Whereas in this one, they, I think, you know, they dial back at the size of his nose and probably the size of his performance, too.
I do think, I understand what you're saying, that, like, anytime someone's going to take it and edit it, you're seeing it through that person's lens of what it should be.
Absolutely.
But also, certain liberties taking with it, like, somehow keeps it more in tone with what, like, the experience would be. So, like, you know, the door swinging open, that gag that we talked about. Mm-hmm. That's a joke that would be in the show. The eyeball, like, the monster vision that we talked about. Liberties that's, like, as long as, like...
Well, I don't think the Macra picking up Polly would ever...
Would ever.
Be in the show.
Yeah, yeah. They just didn't have the ability to do that. But like, liberties that you take to kind of... give it the same feeling that it would have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think those are important.
That's the biggest to me is I would rather it have the feel of me as a kid watching it.
Yes.
Than an actual, honest to God, 100% reproduction of it, because you're going to lose that energy and sense
good
of fun.
Point. Absolutely.
Another scene that I'm sure was not realized near as well on the actual version is at the end when they see the room where the controller and the macro are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine the mess that probably looked like in the real version of it. Mm-hmm. Because it looks, I mean, you've got three of them in there where they're different sizes. One of them's chatting into a microphone or whatever. They're working on, like, I'm just like, this is really awesome, but I can't imagine what that would have looked like.
Well, they only ever built one macro, so it can't have looked that like.
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea what that would have looked like.
It's a room full of just one guy.
Was there anything in the animations you didn't care for? Because I have a couple of things. One is
start.
Yeah, I'll
start.
Nothing stood out to me. Jamie is trying to open a door at one point. And all he does is...
Oh, with the key?
The keys. And he just sticks one key in and wiggles it around for the entire scene. And he's like, oh, here's the key. And then he opens it. I'm like, you didn't try any other key. Drove me crazy.
I didn't notice that.
To be fair, do we know that he knows how to use keys? Somebody may have just given it to him and he thought... All right, I'll try it.
That's my favorite thing about Jamie, is that's his life philosophy.
Give it a shot. He grabs onto things really quickly.
He's like, I don't need that much of an explanation. I'm already doing it. So
I don't need to know why. Just tell me what to do. And I'll do it.
And I forgot the other thing because I had too much vodka.
Yeah, nothing in particular stood out to me. I mean, you pointed out the key thing, and then once you had pointed it out, I could not notice it. But I didn't notice it on my own. And
I remember what the other thing
was. Okay.
There's a scene where Ben and Polly are approached by the Macra. You actually pointed this out too. And the Macra comes up to them, and they're like, and they like scare it away, and it just backs up.
Oh yeah.
And they just stand there.
Oh yeah.
And then the Macra's like, oh, I'll come back now. And they're like, watch out! Yeah, there's one behind you. And it's like, it's the same one. You didn't move.
Yeah. It's just like he got scared off, but then was like, oh crap, I dropped my contact. This is awkward. I've got to go back now.
But then it found its contact.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to do anything. It was just like, don't mind me, it's fine.
There's also one weird shot where Jamie like takes the boards off of an elevator, and then he gets on the elevator and he presses the button, and we're just waiting, and we see this shot, like this full body like shot of Jamie, like, because I guess it's waist high. And then we actually see him rise up, and then we see, like, you know, his kilt and everything like that. And I'm like, the angle changes a little bit. And I'm like, we're not going to see, like, what's under the kilt, are we? Like, I'm like, this is weird.
They do some sort of weird scaling? I don't know. I remember thinking it was weird, but not understanding why.
Yeah, very strange.
Something about the perspective shifted, and I was like, that was weird. But it was like a split second of, like, something was off.
When you guys reviewed The Invasion, did you watch it with the two animated episodes?
Yes.
And what did you think of that compared to this?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I think it was good. I think McAteer is still the best that I've seen, just for fluidity mm-hmm. and
facial expressions, emotions.
Also, just like atmosphere, like that scene where Ben like sneaks away, and there's that shot where he like puts his hand on the window, and it's like raining and stuff.
That was very atmospheric.
Yeah. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I will also say this one I think wins, if for no other reason, that this is just a personal pet peeve. This one has like 70% fewer eye bags on the character. I don't know why they are so enamored of giving every character bags you would have to check at an airport if you were flying.
But they everything did else, have
Shada was really bad.
A weird chin line that I didn't understand.
Yes. I think it was supposed to be the bottom of the lid.
Yeah. There was some weird, but on occasion it just looked... Yeah.
Everybody had an underbite. Whatever the reverse overbite is.
Yeah.
I mean, truly though, that's a quibble. Like,
Exactly.
Yeah, that's we're getting into nitpicking. So, I have a question, because it's been a long time since I've seen... Because the Macra do come back. And I was wondering if in that episode, if the gas is the same color.
Oh.
And I'm like wondering if they used, because I was like, oh, they chose green, because obviously it's black and white. They didn't know what the color was going to be.
I'm wondering
if the gas is the same.
That's a very good point.
Color.
I mean, it was car exhaust.
Right.
I
so
don't know.
It shouldn't have been green.
Exactly. Well, depends on what they use for fuel in the 100 millionth century or whatever it was. On
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, I think the Macra in the animation looked better than the Macra in Deadlock.
Yeah, I was like, did they use the model? Because it does, like, these look different than the ones.
Oh, that is a thing that drives me slightly crazy about this serial, is that the Macra are big old crass. That's their deal. And everyone in the thing is like, they're like bacteria?
Or insects.
Or insects. Yes.
Insects and bacteria.
And they crap one time.
To be fair, some of the people who, when like the doctor is asking that one guy to describe him, he's probably never seen a crab before. So how does he describe?
That's a good point.
But Polly's one of the people who takes forever to get to crab.
Well, exactly. And originally in the script, it was going to be, I think, spiders or something.
Right.
It wasn't crabs.
Okay.
I think it was insects like ants or whatever, and they didn't want to confuse it with the web planet. I think that's what it was. So they said, change it to crabs, and it changed to crabs visually, but the script not, you know, you don't have find and replace on a typewriter.
That is so good to know.
Yeah. So it was originally written to be insects.
Okay.
And the script didn't quite get as changed as it should be.
I like then that they wrote the script to basically say, it looked like something, and then we'll just let the prop people work it out. We're going to write it the way it looked like a bug, but it also looked like a tree. And a rock.
So we don't know
whatever,
if it hasn't actually been made.
Whatever the prop department can make, it'll fit.
It looked like bubble wrap. And styrofoam.
I think the bubble wrap looks cool sometimes.
Okay, I had a question about animation. How would you guys feel about, you're talking about like taking liberties. How would you feel? Because every animation we've had has been fairly realistic looking.
Yeah.
How would you feel about something more stylized, more cartoonish, or something like that?
I am a big proponent of that. I would love to see somebody who's a standard animator take it, do character designs, and animate it in the way that they would. It's something that you would see on, I don't want to say the Disney Channel, but something with that kind of approach to it.
My immediate thought is Harry Partridge, who does YouTube animations. He most popularly probably he did the Saturday Morning Watchmen or the Riff Tracks. When they Riff Tracks live, they do that. Yeah. He does the Riff Tracks.
I think there's definitely a way that you would hit a happy medium where it would still be realistic enough to have the maturity of looking at something in live action. But also, it simplifies the designs. It makes it a lot more easy to do in a fluid manner.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on what you are using the like animations for. Because if you go into an animation and you're like, I want to basically like experience the story as much as I can, like it would have existed, I could see being like, no, thank you. But if you want to just produce like an adaptation of that story,
mm-hmm.
And have something. I like it could be really good. Like that's not even a question. Like
right.
I was gonna say, my answer probably would have been different before I watched Into the Spider-Verse, and now I'm just like, let people do whatever they want.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let
yeah.
people stylize things. Let animators have fun. Yeah, yeah.
Do mm-hmm. You think this could be used to recreate some of those lost episodes since they've lost the film and they're not able to find it?
See, I think that could be really cool.
I think if it's the like if they're doing the whole story, like in this case,
yeah.
then yes, I'm open to the idea. But if it's something where we've got like a couple of episodes missing,
yes.
then right. that's
then
my right. that's kind of my issue with Reign of Terror is that the animation looks like anime, and it takes me like right out of like it just doesn't match. Like you're like watching live action, and all of a sudden like whoa, now we're going into anime territory, and it's like oh, back to live action, now back to anime.
Yeah.
Like it throws me off a bit. So I think that if it's replacing an episode or two,
yeah.
then you want to try to keep it in the same tone.
Agreed.
But if you're like in this one, you could have just gone to town with it, and
you could have went really cartoony with it because it's a very humorous.
It is.
Yes,
it would fit the style of the story. Yeah.
yeah.
And the other
the
part
cheerleaders.
Not to switch serials, but another one that was animated kind of would be Shada. Where
yeah.
you were intermixing live action
yeah.
footage and animation
right.
footage,
right.
you would have to do something similar to what they did. I think they
yeah.
could have done it in a more fluid animation, but
yeah.
you couldn't just all of a sudden switch to Jim Henson's Doctor Who babies and then go
that's
back
true.
To like on a scene by scene or shot by shot.
Oh,
base.
But that shit exists though.
It sure.
I was still leaps and bounds better than what they did for Power of the Dog.
Yeah.
And it was a necessary step to get to what they did with Mac and Terror.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an evolution, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, what will they do next?
That's a good question. What would you like to see them do?
Mythmakers.
I was going to say, we already know the answer in this movie.
I would love that to happen.
God. The thing about Mythmakers is, like, it's my favorite all-time Doctor Who serial. And you can't get people to, like, you can't tell people, you should start on this one. It won't work. No
yeah.
one, even people who are like super into the show, won't watch Mythmakers. So I would love, 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 love to see it animated.
Yeah.
So people can know. I won't just be shouting into the void when I tell people how great Mythmakers is. If there was an animation.
But I would almost like to see that one done in a different style where it's very like painterly.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
Where you get lots of scenery and you get depth. And when you get the Trojan horse, it's, you know, statuesque and it's big and has perspective and depth, and I would love that.
I'm absolutely going down. I'll get back to y'all in like 10 minutes.
Sounds good.
You know what would be another good one, I think? I think it was relatively short. I think it's a four-parter, if I'm not sure. Galaxy
4.
Galaxy 4?
Yep.
Chumblies.
Yeah. I do love that one. It's not one of the better ones, but I love it.
It's
yeah.
got cute robots in it, and so yeah. like that passes it up to a better one.
I think it gets overlooked a lot because it has a very boring name. So you're like Galaxy 4.
Which one is that?
Oh, Chumblies. Okay, Chumblies. So yeah.
I think now you have to forgive me because my history is not that keen on what's missing, what's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not mistaken, aren't we missing the first one with Jamie?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's the one that we were talking about earlier. They're hesitant to do that because it has a huge cast,
right?
And they all wear tartan pants,
right? But that's one I would like to.
I would too.
Yeah,
that
I mean that's important. Like I would say the introduction of a character like that's important to try to bring.
Yeah, and you know that. Technology will catch up with the desire,
sure.
you know, and they will, you know, there'll be a way for the software to render a tartan
yeah.
pattern and make it, you know, kind of like fabric-y or whatever, and they'll be able to do it.
I'm guessing the way things are going, like in like 5 to 10 years, we're probably going to get like Pixar, if not like Lion King, Disney quality, like available to do. Like, for eating them cheap, you know?
Yeah.
When you say Lion King.
I need a new one.
Okay.
You could have a photorealistic Patrick Troughton prowling the Sahara.
Yeah.
having the exact opposite reaction to the Mythmakers pitch.
I mean, they just did the... They just put Doctor Who in Star Wars, and, you know... He's dead.
Peter Cushing. Oh, like, because it just got announced that
to do
Matt Smith is going
to
be in the next movie.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I thought
Sorry.
You meant.
No, I meant Peter Cushing.
He's
dead?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you're right.
Matt Smith.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Just from looking at the picture, pictures and costumes. Yeah,
yeah.
Good that call. Is one that if good they call. Did it, I would like them to tighten up a little bit.
There's a lot of walking from yeah. one place to the other that you see all of the walking, and they're not even like saying interesting things during it. It's just the walking.
But it's a good one.
Yeah,
that would be a fun one.
Who's the bad guy? I loved him. What's his name? He's so handy, and I love it. He like gets that like jug of water, and he's like, ha ha ha, and he pours it out. I love it.
They're in the desert.
Yeah,
yeah.
And mine, so rather than let anyone else has it, he just pours it out.
Mine, for parody's sake, would be the Abominable Snowman. And then animate that missing one of the Web of Fear to match.
Agreed. And that's a one-episode thing. They could easily
right,
do that.
Right.
Easily do that. I mean, I was surprised that they went with one where it's a completely missing thing. They did that with Power,
right,
you know, but I think that was a way of launching this new endeavor that the BBC is investing in.
Yeah.
So now this animation studio has not gone under yet. Right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think Power and Shada and this one are all the same team.
And I'm pretty sure nearly every animation studio that's done ones in the past have immediately, like, went under bankrupt. I think they...
Specifically from doing the...
I mean, yeah. I don't want to say...
I mean, yeah.
That's not something we
I
know.
Mean, the pattern holds up.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, I was thinking, though, that this is the same company that did the Tenet one. Is that
no.
right?
No. Well, I don't think so. No. There's two okay. Tenet original stories that are animated.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, my God. One is called Dreamland, and it's...
Sam, they're not good.
Yes, they are. They're great.
Not the animation.
The animation's fine.
It's fine.
The Infinite Quest, which was Tenet and Marvel.
No, I do remember Infinite Quest. Okay.
That one was a good one.
I like the animation on Infinite Quest.
Yeah, yes,
I'm
that was crazy.
I like the story better for Dreamland, but I'm not crazy about the animation.
Yeah,
the stock.
Dreamland's the like CG one, right?
It's Roswell, like... 1947, UFOs, aliens.
I don't know why I don't remember this.
Georgia Moffat played a character, I don't even know what her name was.
Anthony Stewart Head's in the Infinite Quest one, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Infinite Quest one is actually...
Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. In fact, they're about to release an animation box set with those two things and Power of the Daleks and a couple of other things. It was all animated Doctor Who in a box set.
Yeah, I think Shada's in there.
Shada, that's right, yeah.
Here's the question, though. Is Shulka in there?
Yes, it is.
It is?
It is, that's
they
right.
acknowledge its existence?
Yeah, I know, right? yeah.
I want to see the, they were going to make an animated Doctor Who series, I don't remember, I think it might have been in the 80s?
80s, yeah.
Was Nirvana, right, who was going to do it? And I've seen, like, tests or, like, pencil, like, sketches and stuff, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wish they would make, they do that.
Joe, I have a question for you.
Make new animated stuff.
When we get to Shada.
Yeah.
What are we going to watch?
Well,
all of them.
Okay,
there are.
When we did Shada,
yeah.
We read the novelization.
Nice.
We listened to The Big Finish with the Eighth Doctor. We watched the DVD with Tom, and that was before the animated one. So that was three. So we did three. Yeah, we did all three of those. So now there's a fourth.
Yep.
So have fun with that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a special.
I say we do the new animation because that's like the.
That's probably your best.
Yeah. It is.
That's probably the closest.
The most complete.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also not like a different doctor.
Right.
Well, I will say though, the Eighth Doctor one is really good.
It's a good
interpretation of it.
Very good.
Yeah. It's the Eighth Doctor in Ramana, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
So. One episode that never got completed that got made seven times.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be really
And Lala Ward has been in every one of them.
Speaking to that, though, just in dealing with the BBC, I don't know how many partial animations you're going to see going forward. They don't like to mix that peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah.
I think the returns
but
for them are
the best combination.
I think they probably see a lot better return on if they can say, this is an animated serial.
Yeah,
as opposed to duct taping another one together.
There are so many for them to choose from. I don't know why they just don't pull the trigger. Like, okay, let's do another one. You know?
I mean, part of it is...
We should get one or two a year.
Like, you know, 17 part episodes. And the animation team is just going to die.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. But.
Well, like, how many people do you think is on that?
It's probably not many. I would say maybe 6 to 12. But what I would
say closer to 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, speaking about the ones that go under, Batman the Animated Series back in the 90s was done by an animation studio in Japan. And they loved it so much. They loved animating it so much. They put themselves under. Because they would take so much time to do things like when they would animate Mr. Freeze, they would hand spray the interior of his helmet. And they would go crazy with the fluidity of the animation just because they loved it so much. I'm willing to bet that there's probably a degree of that in the Doctor Who series causing people to go under. Because I think you've probably got people who are such huge fans, they work themselves to death, and it's just not tenable as on a go-forward basis.
Now, when you're talking about doing new stories that are animated, let's just, I mean, we've got 8 million Big Finish stories where the sound is already done with sound production, with the actors involved. Just animate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I also offer, too, that if I was in charge and I could divvy some of the budget somewhere, I would have the Dr. Puppet people do it.
That's a nice idea. I like that.
Well, and another thing you might want to consider is, if there's a run of episodes, let them all be done.
Yeah.
And create your models for the TARDIS and the Doctor and all of the companions that carry over from story to story.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It helps with the budget because you don't have to go back to that.
Unless one of them, I don't know, cuts their hair.
That was my confusion last time.
Right, because they cut the scene out where she gets the haircut, and they just start her with the haircut.
Yeah, I was confused.
Yeah,
no, doesn't in the next serial
it's back to normal.
Her hair's back to normal. I think, which is the faceless ones.
Yeah, but that's okay. She's barely in it, so
honestly, she's barely in the macro tear.
Well, that's true.
She stood too close to the Eye of Harmony, and it caused her hair to grow at an accelerated rate. And so now she has slightly longer hair.
Wibbly wobbly, hairy, wary.
I have one quick question. The scene where they're all sleeping in the same room.
Yes.
Was that supposed to be two different rooms? It felt weird.
Originally it was, yes.
Okay. And the macro terror, they're like, it's Ben, Polly,
they're being,
and
like, hypnotized by that voice, and the Doctor comes in and, like wakes everybody up.
Yeah. But he, like, talks to, like, just Polly.
Yeah.
And then he, like, starts talking to Jamie and Ben later. Like, they would have woken up how loud he was being. But it's like,
not only that, but he's talking to Polly, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got Ben and Jamie. I should go talk to them.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. He's literally looking at her with them in the background.
Right.
And he still forgets that they exist.
Right.
Yeah.
But we are running out of time here, so we should probably wrap up.
All right.
Hey, gang. Are you looking for another podcast to listen to? Well, you're in luck. The Nerdy Laser is a podcast, and we specialize in 90s nerd culture. But we don't leave anything out. If something is cool and nerdy, we will talk about it. So join myself, Richard Yule, and a variety of guests on the Nerdy Laser podcast, available on iTunes, Podbean, and the ESO Network.
Is there anything you guys want to plug real quick before we end this?
I would say Hulanta, but too late!
Shed a tear.
Earth Station 1, Earth Station Who, you can go to earthstation1.com and check us out.
Absolutely. Mine, I guess, would be The Unseen World.
Yes.
It's a new TV series that Tony and Joe and I work on. You can find it, track us down on the socials at See Unseen World on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find out where it's airing and watch it free on Roku.
I'm so glad you're here. I had somebody like actually come up to me in person, and they were like, I hear you talk about Unseen World on the podcast all the time. Where is it? And I was like, oh my God, I've like never been tuned in information. I was like, please watch my TV show. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Well, it's sweeter if you work for it.
You'll have to message me.
And you can find my books at cosmicpress.com. That's K-O-Z-M-I-C press.com. 3 Doctor Who books. Working on a complete rewrite of my first book, which will be out very soon, later this year. And then a Star Trek book will be sometime after that.
already plugged my thing. I did it. Matt did it.
I'll say.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I am also going to be doing probably soon be doing a Kickstarter for a book I co-wrote with some of our other guests, Ray Friesen and Chris Cherry. It's called Road Trippy.
It's so good.
The author name is J. Bartholomew Hivemind. Well, it's technically pronounced Hivemind, but it's spelled Hivemind. So keep on the lookout for that. And if you like us, you can find more of our episodes on WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're on iTunes, Watchathon Rassilon, rate and comment, and all that stuff.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
And, awesome. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Guys.
Thank you for having us here in Atlanta.
Thanks for, you know, having Atlanta.
Anytime, except next year.
Except ever again.
We're gonna have to start Chattahooga. That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah, you know it.
And keep calling Rassilon.
Goodbye, and I love you.
You guys want to say goodbye?
Goodbye. We love you.
Thank you. Cheers.
The Mecra do not exist.
No one on the colony believes in Mecra. There is no such thing as Mecra. Mecra do not exist. There are no Mecra.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.